From the KTO newsroom, this is Jennifer Pemberton with some local and statewide news. Wade Bryson has won a seat on the Juneau Assembly, according to the latest results from last week's municipal election. The Canvas Review Board's count of 2,500 early questioned and absentee ballots on Friday put Bryson ahead of his closest competitor, Garrett Schoenberger, by 128 votes. Bryson is a small business owner and the host of Problem Corner on KINY. He ran unsuccessfully for the Assembly in 2008, but said Monday he's glad he waited a decade to stage another run.
I knew I wanted to do it again, but I also knew that I needed to grow not only personally, but in my business, in the community. I wanted my children to be a little bit older.
Five candidates competed for two seats in District 2. Michelle Bonnie Hale won the most votes, securing a three-year term. Bryson wins a one-year seat on the Assembly, replacing Mayor-elect Beth Weldon, who resigned in August in order to run for mayor. The results are still unofficial until the review board meets tomorrow to certify the election. A few remaining mail-in ballots may arrive before then, but they are not expected to impact the outcome. The new results also give Weldon a wider margin over runner-up Sarah Lynn Tabachnik. Carol Treem won a one-year area-wide seat in the election, and incumbent Lauren Jones ran unopposed for his District 1 seat. Total voter turnout rose to 35.5% with Friday's results. That's the highest voter turnout since 2010. Bryson said he and the other new Assembly members will attend a training at City Hall on Saturday.
I'm just really excited, and I'm looking forward to the training, so that way I have something to do with this, all this energy that I've got right now.
The new mayor and three new Assembly members will be sworn in at City Hall on October 15th. With Assembly member Jesse Keel running for state senate in the November 6th election, more change may be in store for the Assembly soon. Representatives from the Alaska Marine Highway System spoke with Haines residents Thursday to discuss proposed changes to the rollout of two Alaska-class ferries in May of 2019. According to the original plan, two new ferries, the Hubbard and the Taslina, would provide service for the Upper Lynn Canal. Under the new proposal, the Taslina would provide service for Prince William Sound, and Hubbard would run a round trip from Juneau to Haines and Skagway. KHNS's Henry Leisha has more.
In 2014, Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities reached an agreement to construct two Alaska-class ferries. The Taslina was completed earlier this summer, and the Hubbard will be ready by spring. The plan was to have the ferries provide day service for the Upper Lynn Canal during the summer, starting in 2019. Thursday through Sunday, the Taslina would run between Haines and Skagway, and the Hubbard would run between Juneau and Haines. Now the Alaska Marine Highway System is proposing to outfit the ferries with crew quarters so that staff can stay on board for longer periods of time. According to the new proposal, the Hubbard would provide service between Juneau, Haines, and Skagway, and the Taslina would provide service to Prince William Sound out of Cordova. AMHS Executive Director Shirley Marquardt said it is too costly to provide two crews to service the Upper Lynn Canal.
Number one, the contracts with crew on board the vessels are 12-hour days. Whether they work 12 hours or not, it's a 12-hour day. So there's no cost savings there. And the second is, if you're crewing two vessels without quarters, that one vessel with quarters could do, you've got 44 crew members as compared to 24.
AMHS General Manager Captain Falvey explained that there are not enough crew members living in Haines and Skagway to staff ferries based in the Upper Lynn Canal. He also said it would be too expensive to pay for lodging and per diem expenses for crew members from elsewhere. AMHS representatives also noted that the ferries, as they had initially been designed, would not have operated year-round. With the addition of crew quarters, the Taslina and the Hubbard will be able to cover for other ferries during the winter. At the meeting, Haines Assemblyman Tom Morfitt asked why the original plans had been abandoned when the boats were specifically designed for quick turnaround trips in the Upper Lynn Canal. Marquardt acknowledged that the plan had changed, but said that the highway system had not abandoned plans to improve quick loading and unloading.
And you're right, that was the original plan almost 10 years ago. And it's 2018, and a lot of things have changed, and we're just trying to deal with the realities of these two vessels coming into service and what's the best way to provide the best service that we can, and at a cost that we can absorb, as we've been cut the past 3 years in a row by the legislature, and they're not looking any more friendly, quite frankly, in the future. So
The cost of adding crew quarters would be an estimated $13 million to $15 million for each ship. At the moment, Marquardt is looking into getting authorization to use state funds from the Marine Highway Fund to add crew quarters to the Hubbard. In Haines, I'm Henry Leisha.
Monday marks the second year for Alaskans to commemorate Indigenous Peoples Day rather than the federal Columbus Day holiday. In Ketchikan, the local UAS campus library hosted a celebration of Indigenous culture. KRBD's Layla Carey stopped by and has this report.
A table is filled with food made from traditional ingredients: smoked salmon, beach asparagus dip, berry jams, and scones. High school students from the Tribal Scholars Program are gathered filling their plates. Those students are all Alaska Native or Native American, and they made posters that are hanging on the walls of the UAS Ketchikan campus library. Each poster represents Native culture in any way the student chose. But teacher Barbara Morgan says it had to follow the theme, sense of place. And she made the assignment specific to science because that's her area of specialty.
So I also had them use their senses to make an observation that would tie into like the scientific process, which starts with an observation. So it's kind of, they did a good job.
Ronnie Robert Pungawi is Siberian Yupik, and his poster is about seal and sea otter hunting.
It's one of the things I like grew up on. My father taught me how to do with hunting and fishing, and I think seal and sea otter hunting is like my most favorite things to hunt.
Pungawi says he learned the traditional hunting methods and has been hunting since he was 2 years old. He says Indigenous Peoples Day to him means learning where he came from. Brooke Edenshaw says the day helps Alaska Natives be proud of who they are. Her poster focuses on the kuspuk, a traditional Yupik garment worn by women.
They were initially to keep fur parkas clean, and they were made out of animal gut and like skin. Now they're commonly made out of like cotton and like silk. It's just designed with rickrack.
Edenshaw is Yupik and says she has a couple of kuspuks at home, but she has outgrown them. In addition to the posters, some tables in the library display traditional items made by Alaska Native residents. Merle Hawkins makes all kinds of products from Devil's Club. She says the formidable plant hides important traditional medicine under all those thorns.
I brought a fresh piece of Devil's Club so they could see it, feel it, smell it, touch it.
And usually you don't want to touch Devil's Club, so.
I softened it up some, so I scraped the thorns off right away. Yeah.
So how do you harvest it without hurting yourself?
I use thick leather gloves, and I saw it down. First thing I do is scrape the thorns off, and then you get, there's a thin brown layer of bark. I scrape that one off next, and then the green layer is the third layer. That's the bark for the medicine.
Hawkins says that green layer can be dried and used as a medicinal tea for arthritis or stomach problems. It also can be put in a jar with olive oil. After a while, the Devil's Club bark infuses the oil with its medicinal qualities, and the oil can be used to make ointment and other products. Hawkins is Haida and says local Indigenous people have been using Devil's Club bark for thousands of years. They learned about it from watching bears rolling on the thorny plant.
In the summertime, the needles and everything, they slough off because the sap is flowing, and then it's real moist next to the bark. So good medicine even for the animals, I think.
Hawkins says to her, Indigenous Peoples Day highlights the challenges Alaska Natives have overcome and their resiliency in maintaining their culture. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
And the Geophysical Institute at UAF has a promising aurora forecast for tonight. Auroral activity will be high, weather permitting, and it is expected to be partly cloudy and partly clear tonight. High auroral activity displays will be visible.